Thank you, Peter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're continuing with volume 19, 7, 14, 1926. And Jesus says to Louisa, Louisa, who shall break these veils of so many created things that it conceals? So here, this is what Jesus has given to Louisa to do. As he speaks to Louisa, as Louisa writes everything down on paper, writing for us to read, this is going to break the veils. The saints have said that when you're on your deathbed, the veil is lifted and you begin to see divine things, divine realities. For the souls that are of God, they begin to see saintly, good and holy things. The demons, yeah, the demons will be there to try to bother, pull you out of the peace, the joy, the happiness of heaven. But the souls that are not didn't strive to live a holy life, or the ones that haven't been prayed for, they face hell. And I've seen people die who were close to God and it was beautiful. And I saw souls away from God and it was scary. Yet the veil is always lifted. We're going to see the truths. We're going to see the divine realities. This is what we were created. We were created to enter into this abundant life. And that's why Jesus says to Louisa, who's going to break these veils of so many created things that the divine will conceals? Who is the one? The one who shall recognize in all things the bearers of my divine will. The soul, paying the honors due to it, shall let it reign in her soul, giving it dominion and her subjection. So here, Louisa is the one who is going to lift these veils. Like when you go back to all that Jesus says about Louisa, it's, who is this Louisa Picaretta? She recognizes all things. She's the bearer of the divine will. She pays honors due to the divine will. And she's the one that lets the divine will reign in her soul, giving it dominion in her subjection. So here is the one who's going to open the door for us. Jesus says to Louisa, Louisa, you must be the key. The key that the Pope will use to open up the kingdom. The key that will lock up the human will. Again, what's coming is so magnificent. What's coming is so beautiful that it's hidden. It's hidden. It's like Jesus in the tabernacle, hidden. It's for who is Jesus waiting for? It's for the souls who want. Okay, so let's just begin. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So Jesus says, who's going to break these veils? They conceal the divine will. Jesus says, Louisa, the one who recognizes in all things the bearers of my divine will. Louisa, paying the honors due to the divine will. Louisa, letting the divine will reign in her soul. So she's the one we have to go to begin to understand this life. So here Jesus says very, very clearly, giving it dominion and her subjection. Therefore, my daughter Louisa, be attentive. Give this contentment to your Jesus, who has agonized so much until now to realize this birth of my supreme kingdom. And together with me, the whole creation, as a single act that breaks the veils and shall deposit in you, Louisa, the birth of my divine will that all things conceal. So this birth is coming from Louisa. Okay, as Adam was to breathe this into his children, and he didn't because of original sin, Jesus says now the one who's going to give birth to this divine will in all things concealed, he says it's going to be you, Louisa. This is why, again, Father Bucci said, what's coming, just so that you know, what's coming is so, the devil's going to be very angry of what has to happen because he's going to lose. Father Bucci says, put a picture of Louisa in your window. Get a statue of Louisa and put it, you know, near your entrance. When the evil one sees Louisa, he will flee. Now, he doesn't like Jesus. He doesn't like Mary. He hates Jesus and Mary. He's afraid of Jesus and Mary. But now the newborn who has the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, everything that the evil one tried to stamp out by turning Eve away from the truth, Adam away from the truth, he hears this song of heaven. He hears this joy of heaven when she prays. He hears heaven on earth, and he knows that he's been banished from heaven. He will be banished from earth. So Father Bucci says, get a picture of Louisa. I mean, not a rendition. If you can get an actual picture of Louisa, this would be something that you're going to be really benefiting from. Louisa is going to push away the evil one. As Jesus says to Louisa in Vine 15, my mother crushes the head of Lucifer. You, Louisa, are going to put the final kaput on his head, like mother, like daughter. You're going to, so here, it's not only going to be the queen of heaven and earth crushing his head, but the little daughter going to finally put it away. This is it. It's what God has planned. Who is the one who's going to give this birth of this breaking the veils of the divine will, Louisa? And this is why read what Jesus taught Louisa. This is what breaks the veils. Jesus says, you're nothing but a blade of grass, Louisa. He says, but all of creation is basically in your hands. The destiny of the world is in your hands, Louisa. Volume 19, 8, 1926. Oh, the power of my divine will, how great you are. You alone have the virtue of communicating the supreme strength in such a way that with your divine strength, the creature can rise to that single act of God, the creator, rise to the prime act of God. This is where we're going, entering into the prime act of God. Oh, power of my divine will, how great you are. This Jesus is saying this. You alone have the virtue of communicating the supreme strength in such a way that with your strength, the creature can rise to that prime act of God, the single act of God, the creator. See, this is one of the things that you're going to discover. We're going to be creating in heaven because we're the children of God. And Jesus wants to see what we're going to do. He's going to say basically this divine masterpiece that he's making of each and every one of us. He's going to say, what do you want to do? What would you like? I mean, on earth, you look at people who grow gardens. You look at people who create houses. You look at people who they're always creating. Can you imagine what's going to be? It's going to be like in heaven, where two architects sitting down and saying, you know, I've always thought of doing dot to dot. The guy goes, you know, I thought about that, but I was thinking dot to dot to dot. And he goes, I never thought. Another architect shows up and he goes, you know, I was thinking about that too, but I'm thinking dot to dot to dot to dot. It's going to be an explosion of creativity in heaven. See, God is going to want to see what his children are going to do. Wait till you see what's coming. We haven't seen anything yet. Anything. 519, 822, 26. It says, my divine will encloses all the divine qualities. Each of your acts done in the divine will assumes the image of a supreme quality. Think about architecture in heaven. Think about gardens in heaven. Look at them, how beautiful they are. Each of your Each act of yours assumes a distinct image, but they resemble one another. They harmonize. This music of heaven, this beauty that's there. They hold hands and form one single act. How beautiful is the working of the creature in my divine will. She does nothing but produce divine images. This is what God's got planned for all of his children. You're not going to be on a cloud playing a harp. God is going to produce his children as his divine masterpiece, a divine masterpiece for God. And then he's going to say to these divine masterpieces, his children, let me see what you can do. Can you imagine what God's got planned? Volume 19, 8, 25, 26. I was remembering all the acts of our Lord so as to unite myself with him, with Jesus. This is Louisa. And not only this, but to find his most holy divine will operating in all of his acts, to be able to identify with the divine will, to make one single act with mine. So I would have wanted to be conceived with Jesus, to be born with Jesus, to moan, to cry, to suffer, to pray, to shed my blood together with Jesus and die together with Jesus. Now, while I was thinking of this, he moved in my interior, making his presence felt in my heart and raising his arms in the act of clasping me to himself. He told me, my daughter, my whole life was one single act coming from the single act, the prime act of the eternal one that has no succession of acts. And since it is my humanity, externally, one could see the gradual succession of my acts that is being conceived, being born, being growing, operating, walking, suffering, dying in the interior of my holy humanity, my divinity, the eternal word united to my soul formed one single act of my whole life. Therefore, the succession of the external acts that could be seen in his holy humanity was the outpouring of that single act that was overflowing outside, forming the succession of my external life. So the interior life is now going to be manifested. We know the stories of in the Gospels of Jesus. Now the interior life of his holy humanity is going to be shown. Again, we haven't seen anything yet. And again, you get glimpses of this when in front of the Blessed Sacrament. God shows you as you're reviewing his life, as you're praising him, loving him, glorifying him. He's showing you who he is exteriorly. But in front of the Blessed Sacrament, with the understanding of the Book of Heaven, you're seeing the interior life of Jesus. It's astonishing. He says, but in my interior, I was conceived at the same time I was also born. I cried, I moaned, I walked, I operated, I spoke, I preached the gospel, I instituted the sacraments, I suffered and was crucified. So we see that that prime act of God is one. Therefore, all that could be seen on the outside of my holy humanity, little by little, step by step, inside of my holy humanity, was one single act, long and continuous, that still continues. So I was conceived, coming from the single act of the eternal one. And I remained always being conceived. See, this is why Jesus says to Louisa, Christmas is every day. Christmas is every day. And every day people should have a baby Jesus, in a crib in your home. It's every day is Christmas. It's the birth of Christ. Every day is Good Friday, the death of Christ. Every day is Easter Sunday. It's the Christ risen. In sum, everything I did remained an act and as a continuous act because everything that comes from God and remains in God undergoes no mutations, nor increases, nor dominions. Once the act is done, it remains with the fullness of life that never ends and can give life to everyone as much as they want of it. So here Louisa says, I want to be born with you. I want to die with you. Jesus says, good. He says, I am life, a life that never ends. And he says, Come with me. So especially this week when we meditate on the Passion of the Christ, this is something that's very, very powerful for you and for your family, even if your family doesn't show up. You pray the 24 hours of the Passion. Get ready for your family to be turning closer and closer to God. You're going to see it. You're going to see the change in your family. Why? You're reading the divine will. You're reading, as Jesus says, about the fullness of life that never ends and gives life to everyone. It gives life to your family, your friends, your nations, the world. Everything's changing by reading the Book of Heaven. Use this Holy Week as a week of complete transformation. This is what is God's going to show you. So my divine will maintain and does maintain everything and act my whole life just as it maintains the life of the Son in act without allowing it to decrease or increase. It is its light in its heat and its effects, just as it preserves the expanse of the heavens, all the stars, without ever shrinking and dispersing even one star. So with many other things created by me, in the same way, my supreme will maintains the life of all the acts of my holy humanity. It's when you pray the Holy Rosary, you're looking at Jesus with the eyes of Mary, the one who loves him the most. You're go back to Bethlehem, go back to Cana, go back to Golgotha. Be with Jesus, be with Mary. See, Jesus says, the gift that I'm going to give to the little children of the Holy Divine Will is bilocation. It's not the bilocation of the saints. Jesus takes us where he wants to bring us. Let God do that. Let God bring you to the Garden of Eden. He says to Louisa, go to the garden. She would say to Jesus, take me there. She would be there. Your whole prayer life is going to change. It's not a God who's far away. It's not a God remembering God when you're praying the rosary. You actually go there. There's no time or space with the divine will. And if you say, well, that's not going to happen to me, it can't happen to you. You've said no. It's always fiat. When the angel said, you'll be the mother of God, she says, how is this going to happen? I've already promised a life of virginity. How can I help God accomplish what he wants? The angel said, it will be through the power of the Holy Spirit. She said, fiat me, let it be as you say. I want what God wants. Let God have his way with you. And he is going to show you things that he probably has never shown anybody else. See, he loves us so much that he is going to show us things that have never really been seen before. I mean, he's our God. He's our Savior. He's our Master. He's our King. And he's got great plans. So he says this, in the same way, my supreme will maintains the life of all the acts of my holy humanity without dispersing even one breath. Now, wherever the divine will reigns, this will of mine does not know how to do separate acts. Its nature is one single act, multiplied in its effects, but always one in its acts. Therefore, it calls the soul who lets herself be dominated by the divine will to union with its single act, the prime act of God, that she may find all the goods, all the effects that the one single act of a God can possess. He's sharing with us what he possesses. Therefore, may your attention be you remain united to that single act of the Eternal One. If you want to find the whole creation and the whole redemption in act, in that single act, you will find the length of my pains, of my steps, of my continuous crucifixion. You shall find it. You shall find everything. My divine will disperses nothing. In it, you shall be identified with my acts and shall take the fruit of my whole life. If it were not so, there would not be a great difference between my operating and that of my saints. On the other hand, my operating as God is one single act. Between mine and theirs, there is a difference that passes between the sun and the tiny little flame. between the great sea and a drop of water, between the vastness of the heavens and a tiny little hole. Only the power of my one act, the prime act of God, has the power to give itself to everyone. See, he wants us to share in his divinity and to embrace everything. And while it gives itself, it never loses anything. So again, your prayer is so important to God that he's going to help you leave, if you want to say, the prayers of the saints, which are good and holy and saintly, doing the will of God, to enter into living in the will of God, the way Jesus and Mary lived. That's what they gave to Louisa. We love the saints, but that's doing the will of God. Now Jesus is showing us, I want you to live in the will of God. I want you to over, he says, the difference between the saints, this is what he says, the difference between the saints is, it's a pinprick compared to the heavens. It's a drop of water compared to the ocean. The saints, we love the saints, but Jesus says he's gratuitous. He's constantly giving. I want you to begin to possess who I am, what I am. And this is what he's doing. He loves us so much. He says, it's the power to give of itself to everyone, to embrace everything. While it gives itself, it never loses anything. It's this sun of the divine will and the little flame of the saints. What God is going to bring to the earth is going to consume the world in love. That's what's coming. Volume 19, 9, 7, 19, 26. In creating Adam, the Supreme Being placed my divine will out into the field. Although all of our divine attributes are concurred with it as a consequence and naturally. But the supreme volition was the primary act by which it took to heart the life of all of creation, including Adam, therefore making itself the life of all, dominating everything, making everything its own. Since everything had come out of the divine will by justice, everything, this is where we're going, was to be its own. More than sun, my divine will emitted its rays, and with the tips of these rays animated the human nature. It formed the human will in creatures, in humanity, in Adam. So he says, volume 19, 1926, you must know that just as all things have come out of that single act of God, the fiat, so must everything return to that single act that has no succession of acts, but only one who leaves everything, all of the human, can live only of my divine will. That can return to that single act, because as the soul lives in this act of the divine will, everything she does converts into light, and her acts are naturally incorporated and identified with the eternal light of the sun of my divine will. And as a consequence, they become one single act with one single act of it. So here he's saying, I want you to enter into this abundant life. I planned this from the beginning. I want you to return to the womb of the Father. I planned this from the beginning. You have been created to be one with God, fused with God, not to become God, but he wants to share his divinity with you. That's how generous our God is. It's really letting go of the holy things to embrace the divine. I know so many people say, "Oh, I love the novena to Saint Teresa. I love the prayers of Saint Gertrude. They're beautiful. They're holy, but they're doing the will of God." Jesus is saying, "I want you to live in the will of God, the way Jesus and Mary did." That's why there's a vast difference between a drop of water and an ocean. The ocean is the divine will. The drop of water is our human will. Jesus says, give it up. Give me that rusty penny of your human will, and I will fill you with gold. I'll fill you to overflowing with gold. And we go, but if I give you my rusty penny, I won't have it anymore. God goes, Well, you're getting close to what I want to do. I want to free you of your misery. I want to free you of your worry, your fear, your anxiety, your complaints, your negativity, your sin. I want to fill you with divinity. That's what the priest says every day at Holy Mass. He was sharing the divinity of Christ. And all he's doing is, are you ready? Are you ready for what I, God, am going to do? Because God is doing this. God is doing this. This is the great thing. So Jesus says, on the other hand, in one who operates outside of the divine will, one can see not light, but each of the materials of her work contains, and cannot be incorporated with the light of the single act of God. Therefore, it shall show immediately that this thing, whatever you're doing, is not our thing. See, God wants us to participate in him. That it does not belong to us, triune God. So anything that is not done by virtue of the divine fiat shall not be recognized by God. Did you hear what that's? Did you hear that? This is the words of Jesus. Anything that does not, by virtue of the divine fiat, done by the virtue of the divine fiat, shall not be recognized by God. Why? God wants to see divine things. That's why he created Adam, to be in God's image and likeness. And now he's saying to us, I'm going to show you how the life of Adam should have been through Jesus and Mary, the life that they breathed into Louisa. Suppose you wanted to unite light and darkness, copper, gold, rocks on earth. Would one not distinguish with clarity the light from the darkness, the copper from the gold, the rocks from the earth? And this, because these are materials, one different from the other. But if you united all together, light with light, darkness with darkness, gold with gold, you would not be able to distinguish nor separate the first light from the second, the first darkness from the second, the first mass of gold from the second. So it is with my divine will. What it does, what itself does in the soul is light. And it is no wonder that it becomes incorporated in the single act of the eternal light of God. See, we're going to be in God's image and likeness. Through holy baptism, we're in God's image. Now with this gift of the divine will, he's teaching us how to enter the likeness, and he's leaving it up to us. If we have been baptized, he says, what do you want? Do you want to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament? Do you want to spend time praying the Holy Rosary? Do you want to spend time going to Holy Mass? What do you want? Jesus says, I've done everything for you. And now he says to those souls who are ready, he says, do you want more? And we say, yes. And God goes, good. Now, he wants to see us cooperate with this grace that he's giving. Volume 20, 10-12, 1926. Now, don't you know that the primacy that Adam lost as firstborn son of my divine will has passed on to you, Louisa? So she's firstborn daughter. So that in you, Louisa, I, God, must enclose all the goods that I was to enclose in Adam, had Adam not withdrawn from my divine will. Okay, so Jesus breathed the Ruach of God, the breath of God into Adam. What came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. And God said, basically, everything is yours except for that tree in the middle. Don't touch it, or you'll die that day. He died at 930 years, because a day was like 1,000 years, 1,000 years like a day. That's what's coming. That's what's coming. The kingdom is coming. So what does he say? He says, basically, I must enclose all the goods that I was to enclose in Adam in you, Louisa, because you, through you, Louisa, humanity will have this abundant life again. So what does she say? She says to Louisa, you must give this gift back to the man. He says, as Eve took this gift away from Adam, you have to give it back to the man. Who is she going to give this gift to? It's the one with the keys to the kingdom. Great things are coming. Great things are happening. Amazing things are at hand. And Jesus said that 2,000 years ago. It's much closer than you can imagine. So Jesus says this, 9:20. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm reading two different pages. I'm reading the screen and reading my paper. Wow, something's wrong. Okay. Therefore, I, God, look at you, Louisa, as the first creature to come out from our hands. Because listen to this. Now, this is important. There's no time or space with God. Because one who lives in my divine will is always the first before her creator. Okay? The firstborn is Louisa. Okay. Even though Louisa is born later in time, this says nothing. In our most holy divine will, the soul who has never gone out of the divine will is always first. You have Our Lady Theotokos, Mother of God. We're talking about a human. Louisa is the firstborn. Why? He says, see then, you, Louisa, must care about everything. My coming itself is the irresistible force of my divine will that draws you, Louisa, to me and disposes you, Louisa. Therefore, I, God, want highest gratitude at your fortune for being the firstborn daughter of my divine will. Now, Our Lady is mother and queen. Nobody can compare to the mother and queen. Louisa is the little newborn, the little daughter of the divine will. We're not comparing Our Lady with Louisa. Our Lady is mother and queen. Theotokos, no one can compare to her. Jesus, if you've read the prodigies of the Blessed Mother, this is Jesus saying who my mother is. And he says, you know, a lot of saints wrote about my mother, but they're not even close. And so we love, you know, Maximilian Kolbe talking about Our Lady, Saint Bernard talking about Our Lady, Saint G, John, you know, that guy. My mind's gone. So he says, I, as the Son of God, I, as the Son of Mary, can tell you how beautiful my mother is. Wait till you read the prodigies of Our Lady. If you love Our Lady, wait till you hear Jesus speak about his mother. It's really glorious. God's got great plans. So he says this. After Jesus says this, you, Louisa, the firstborn, Louisa says, I don't know what to answer. I remain confused. It's not confused, though. The word is overwhelmed. I'm just like, what? In my inmost soul, I said, fiat, fiat, fiat. Let it be done as you say. If this is what you want, God, I want it. This is what we say. Lord, you're giving me this gift. I don't know how you're going to do this. But if you want it, I want it. If this is what you're telling me to read, I will read it. If this is what you're telling me to study, I will study it. I want what you want. And God says it very, very clear to Louisa. Oh, the saint was Saint Louis de Montfort. What Saint Louis de Montfort says about the Blessed Mother. And what does he say? The greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world, is at the end of time. And they have done nothing. God has done it for them. This is what God is doing this. And all he's asking of us is, are you willing to embrace this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies? 5:20, 10:26-26. There was no act I, Jesus, did while being on earth in which I did not place my divine will as prime act to be established once again in the midst of creatures, because that was the thing I, God, most cared for. If it were not so, or if I did not do so, if everything I worked and suffered, I did not have the kingdom, the supreme fiat, as prime act to be restored in the midst of creatures, my coming upon earth would have brought a half a good to the generations, not a complete one. And the glory of my celestial Father would have not have been completely reintegrated by me. In fact, since my divine will is the origin of every good, and the only purpose of creation and redemption, it is therefore the ultimate fulfillment of all of our divine works. This is the ultimate fulfillment. Finally, it's here. Finally, it's going to be manifested. Without it, our most beautiful works remain within a frame and without completion, because it alone is the crown of all of our divine works, and the seal of our work is complete. Everything's going to be done. Everything's going to be completed. And God is asking us to be alive at this time to witness what he, the Lord God Almighty, is going to do. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And he's asking us, are you ready? And we say, I want to be. He goes, read. You'll be ready. Study. You'll be ready. Put this into practice. You'll be ready for what I, God, am about to do. It's the greatest show on earth that's coming. There's no doom or gloom. This is a glorious time to be alive. Read and study every day. The bad news, the fake news, it's just, we don't want that. We want the good news. And the good news that Jesus has given to us is what we find in the book of heaven. It's glorious news, to tell you the honest truth. And our God is getting us ready. And we're finishing part one. There's part two and part three. Part two is for May. Part three is for June. So it gets better. As Jesus goes on, as he's teaching Louisa, he becomes more and more intense. He wants us to see this. He wants us to experience this. He wants us to embrace this. So he says this, therefore, for the honor and the glory of the very work of redemption, it was to have as prime act, this one single act of God, the purpose of the kingdom of my divine will on earth as it is in heaven. God's got it all planned. He's asking us to participate in this. He's asking us to let go of all our misery, to embrace heaven, to embrace the kingdom. And he says those that are peaceful, joyful, and happy are anticipating heaven. Those that are worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative are anticipating hell. Don't live that. Don't live that life of hell. Live the life of heaven. Jesus was peaceful, the Prince of Peace. Mary was peaceful, the Queen of Peace. Jesus was joy-filled. I will give you my joy that your joy may be complete. Our Lady was filled with joy. She is the hope. She's our hope. She's our joy. She's our mother. She's our queen. And now this life of Jesus and Mary has been given to Louisa, and we can possess it if we wish. So we'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. We pray that all be divinely healed. We pray for Sylvia that she be divinely healed. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.